We are surrounded by death.
We are always surrounded by death.
Death comes with names we know well: cancer, heart attack, stroke, or abortion. We know these names, they're familiar, we're almost desensitized to them, at least until they strike our families personally, which they do. There is a new virus in our midst, and it's practically the only topic of conversation these days. So we're always surrounded by death, but right now, more than usual, we're also surrounded by the fear of death. It is a unique moment in history, but it is at this moment in history that we gather to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Death is our last enemy because it is our final enemy. And it's an enemy that will be destroyed. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do pray that you bless the proclamation of your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I do not usually give sermons a title, but today I will. Today I will title it, "The Death of Death in the Death of Christ." This is inspired by a book by this title, to give credit where credit's due. It's inspired by a book by John Owen. The book is a 1647 book about how the death of Christ does not just grant the possibility of redemption, but it definitely secures the redemption of the saints. And that is a topic that's worthy of our reflection, but it's not my focus today. Instead, today I will be asking, how do the death and resurrection of Christ bring about the death of death? And what does that mean for us in this time of the fear of death? There are several ways in which death dies in the death of Christ. The first way is that the death of Christ brings about the death of the cause of death. The cause of death is sin. As we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses, Christ is the death of sin. In the cross, Jesus forgives our sin and reconciles us to God. We do need to make a distinction between the presence of sin and the power of sin. The power of sin is broken in the death of Christ. Romans 6:14 says, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." But let's take a look at that verse in its whole context. And no, I didn't compare notes with Michael in advance. Let's look at Romans 6 again, starting at verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So we find the death of the cause of death and the death of Christ, but it's twofold. The dominion of sin dies in the death of Christ. This is immediate. Sin no longer has power over us. It no longer separates us from God. We are reunited to God. But the presence of sin remains. We were born sinners, we spent our early years as sinners, and we live in a world that has been drenched in sin. Now, sin no longer has dominion over us. It does not reign over us. Jesus reigns over us, but it still is present. Let me extend that earlier analogy. I kind of hope you didn't imagine yourself on that raft, because if you did, I left you in a really bad position, starving, dehydrated, and drowning. So, let's suppose that a ship comes by. You are pulled out of the water and into the ship. Well, now you're surrounded by oxygen. But if you breathed some water in as you were beginning to drown, there's some water on your lungs and you need CPR. And suppose the CPR works and you're breathing again. Well, now you're on a ship, you're surrounded by food and water, but the effects of starvation and dehydration will have an impact on your body for days and perhaps weeks to come. In the moment of your rescue, as you're being pulled from the water, you are no longer under the dominion of drowning, starvation, or dehydration. But you're still in their presence. You still suffer their side effects. That's like where we are spiritually. We have been saved from the dominion of sin, but we still suffer its side effects. And yet I said that we see a twofold death of sin and the death of Christ. Because in the death of Christ, as I said, is the immediate death of the dominion of sin. We are no longer separated from God, the source of our life. But in the death of Christ is also the future death of the presence of sin. We will not be surrounded by sin forever. We are surrounded by it now and by the death that it brings. But praise God, not forever. Which leads me to my second point. My first point, we see the death of the cause of sin and the death of the cause of death and the death of Christ. My second point is that we see the death of the sting of death and the death of Christ. Death surrounds us now more than ever. And the fear of death surrounds us now more than ever. But in the death of Christ is the death of the sting of death. It seems too bold to say that. It almost seems flippant. But I can only say that because it's what the Bible says. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a little later in the chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 53 through 57. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now it says, O death, where is your sting? But it's speaking of then shall be brought to pass. That's future. In the present, death still stings. Stings is probably too mild a word. I'm only using it because it's the word we find here. But death crushes us. When the life drains out of someone we love, it's as though part of our own life drains out too. We say that a part of us dies, and that's really not just an idiom. So make no mistake, death still stings. I'm not denying that in the slightest. It stings less when a believer dies. But that's as we look to the future, because for now, Christ is risen from the dead. As he has risen, so we shall rise. Shall is future. It hasn't happened yet. It's not our present reality. So in the present, death is terrifying. And I shouldn't go the whole sermon without touching on the current topic that everybody's talking about. You know, for some people, the coronavirus is a distant reality. It's a little more personal for my family. As many of you know, my Uncle Glenn had a confirmed case. He was hospitalized for about a week. My Aunt Judy was in the same house. She probably got a milder case, but there weren't enough tests at the time to know for sure. Right now, it looks like they'll both recover. They're both on the mend, and we are grateful. That's the silver lining to the cloud. The hospital sent Uncle Glenn home because he could breathe without a ventilator, and they needed his bed for someone else. Someone else who needed that intensive care. So the coronavirus, COVID-19, is personal for my extended family. It's not a faceless pandemic. For us, it has a face. But if I can get even more personal for just a moment, as you've probably heard, one of the main symptoms of this virus is shortness of breath. And as most of you know, with the health issues I've had for the last couple years, one of my main symptoms that pops up from time to time is shortness of breath. Usually it's mild. Occasionally it's severe. I know a little too well what shortness of breath feels like, so this is personal for me. And yeah, I've been short of breath a couple times over the last couple weeks. And even though it's something I've lived with for a couple years, it's a little scarier now. If it goes on for long enough, I'll ask Ariel if I have a fever. And she'll say, "You're fine, you don't have a fever." And I guess I've asked a few too many times. I'm going to embarrass you terribly, I'm sorry. Honey, I do trust you either way, but it is a little more convincing when you say that after you feel my forehead. We know there is the resurrection, but that's future. And in the present, death still stings. And several times over the last 2 weeks, two different occasions, death has struck pretty close to home for this church. This is a public live stream. I won't go into details, but those of you who are members here, you've seen it in the church emails. Our hearts break. We know we will see saved friends and family members again in the resurrection, but we don't see them now. We know joy is coming in the morning, but sorrow is still present in the night. And yet I say there is a death of the sting of death and the death of Christ. This death is a gradual death. Because already, today, death does not sting as much for the believer as it does for the unbeliever. We know there is a resurrection. We know we will reunite with the dead who die in the Lord. But this death, the sting of death is gradual because it is not yet complete. The sting of death has begun to die in the death of Christ, but the day is coming when the sting of death will fully die, which leads me to my third point. We see the death of the power of death in the death of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 26. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. And then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death.
I do not know when I will die. I do not know when you will die. But this I know, unless we live to see the New Jerusalem, we will die. But this I also know, if we die in Christ, we will rise. Because the ultimate death of death and the death of Christ is the resurrection. In the resurrection, there is no more cause of death because there is no more sin. In the resurrection, there is no more sting of death. There is no more presence of death. We are reunited with our family and our friends who have died in the Lord. And in the resurrection, there is no more power of death. Death is the last enemy that will be destroyed. It is not destroyed yet, but it will be destroyed in the resurrection. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 19. Starting at verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And then verse 16, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As we look at this moment in history, we're near the final death of death, but we're not quite there because more death immediately follows. Next couple of verses, we see the beast and the false prophet make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Verses 20b and 21. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with a sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. So even this, even in the second coming, is not quite the final death of death. So we turn to chapter 20, the first couple verses. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit. And a great chain in his hand, he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old who was the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And even this is not the final death of death. That happens in the next few verses. Verses 7 through 10 speak of Satan being released from his prison, going out and deceiving the nations, and the great climactic battle. But then we see verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the final death of death. And we see this promise fulfilled in the next few verses. Revelation chapter 21, starting at verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. This is the death of death and the death of Christ. Because the cause of death dies in the death of Christ, the sting of death dies in the death of Christ, and the power of death dies in the death of Christ. In conclusion, this is what we celebrate when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. One more passage, 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26. Familiar passage. We read it most every week. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." We proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. It's a phrase we hear almost every week. We can almost take it for granted. We are proclaiming the greatest injustice in all of history. The only sinless person, the only one who did not deserve to die, died. But he died in our place. He paid for our sins if we believe in him as our Savior and our Lord. And we know this is true because of the resurrection. He did not stay dead. He rose from the grave, and as he has risen, so we shall rise. Amen. So as we gather... Yes, thank you. So as we gather every week, we break the bread and drink the cup. We proclaim the death of Christ. But as we're doing that, we also proclaim the death of death. In the death of Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that you allow us to gather each week to proclaim your death till you come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.